Have you ever picked up the phone, dialed 1-800-WX-BRIEF, and then immediately felt like you had no idea what to say? You're not alone. I'm Pattern on Traffic Pattern right here on Radio Hangar, and today we're going to walk through that phone call from start to finish. What you say, what they say back, and most importantly, how to turn all of that information into a go or no-go decision. Because here's the thing, a lot of student pilots learn to read MATARs and TAFs on paper, which is great, but when it comes time to actually get a full standard weather briefing from Lockheed Martin Flight Service, they freeze up. They don't know the format, they don't know what to ask for, and they end up scribbling random notes on the back of a sectional and hoping for the best. We're gonna fix that today. Shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument, commercial? They've got you covered. Great way to mark the milestones that matter. AviationSoul.com. All right, let's start with the basics. Flight Service is your single best resource for a comprehensive pre-flight weather briefing. Yes, you can pull up 4Flight or Garmin Pilot and look at charts and radar and prog charts on your own, and you should. But a standard weather briefing from Flight Service does something your tablet can't. It puts a human being on the other end who can synthesize all of that data for your specific route of flight and tell you things you might have missed. Now, before we get into the call itself, let's talk about the three types of briefings: standard, abbreviated, and outlook. Today we're focused on the standard briefing because that's the one you'll use most, especially as a student. A standard briefing is what you request when you haven't gotten any previous weather information for this flight. It's the full package. An abbreviated briefing is for when you've already gotten a standard briefing and you just need an update on specific items. And an outlook briefing is when your flight is more than 6 hours away and you just want a general sense of what to expect. For your training flights and your check ride, you want the standard briefing. So let's walk through how to set that up. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. Before you ever pick up the phone, have your flight details written down in front of you. I mean it. Grab a piece of paper or open a blank note on your phone and write down your aircraft type, your tail number, your departure airport, your destination airport, any intermediate stops, your planned altitude, your estimated departure time in Zulu, and your estimated time en route. Having all of this ready means you won't be fumbling when the briefer asks, and they will ask. So the call starts like this. You dial 1-800-929-4373. That's 1-800-WX-BRIEF. A briefer picks up and you say something like this. Good morning. I'd like a standard briefing, please. I'm a student pilot, VFR departing Lakeland Linder, that's Kilo Lima Alpha Lima to Daytona Beach, Kilo Delta Alpha Bravo in a Cessna 172. Tail number November 1234 Alpha, planning to depart at 1600 Zulu, cruising at 4500, estimated time en route 1 hour 30 minutes. That's it. That's your opening line. Clean, organized, gives the briefer everything they need to pull up the right information. And here's a tip. Telling them you're a student pilot is not something to be embarrassed about. It tells the briefer to be a little more thorough and a little more patient with their explanation. Now let's talk about what comes back at you, because this is where students sometimes feel overwhelmed. The briefer follows a specific format, and once you know the order, it's much easier to follow along. There are six main sections to a standard briefing, and they come in this order every single time. Number 1. Adverse conditions. This is the headline news. The briefer starts with anything that could be dangerous or that might prevent your flight entirely. We're talking airmits, SIGMITs, convective SIGMITs, center weather advisories, any notice to air missions or NOTAMs that are critical to your safety. If there's a temporary flight restriction along your route, this is where you'll hear about it. If there's a line of thunderstorms between you and your destination, this is where you'll hear about it. When you hear adverse conditions, write them down. Don't just listen and nod. Write the type of hazard, the area affected, and the valid times. This is go or no-go information. Number 2. VFR flight not recommended. If conditions along your route are at or below VFR minimums, or if the briefer believes the flight would be unsafe for VFR, they will tell you plainly, VFR flight is not recommended. Now here's what every student needs to understand. This is not a prohibition, it is not an order, it is a recommendation, but it is a strong one and you should take it very seriously. If a briefer says VFR flight not recommended and you go anyway and something goes wrong, that's going to look very bad in any investigation. More importantly, it probably means conditions genuinely are not safe for a VFR pilot. Here's the thing though, if you don't hear the briefer say VFR flight not recommended, that doesn't mean the weather is great. It just means it's not terrible enough to trigger that specific advisory. You still need to evaluate everything else they tell you. Number 3. Synopsis. This is the big picture weather. The briefer will describe the large-scale weather patterns affecting your area. Things like, a cold front is moving through central Florida this afternoon. Or, high pressure is dominating the southeast with clear skies expected through the evening. This is context. It helps you understand why the rest of the briefing looks the way it does if there's a cold front coming through. You know, the weather might be fine right now, but could deteriorate during your flight. Number 4. Current conditions. This is essentially the current MATARs along your route. The briefer will read you the observations from your departure airport, your destination, and ideally a few stations along your route. You've practiced reading MATARs before, so this should sound familiar. Visibility, ceiling, wind, temperature, dew point, altimeter setting. The briefer might also mention any pilot reports or PIREPs that have come in from aircraft currently flying in the area. Pay attention to PIREPs. Those are real-time reports from pilots who are actually up there right now, and they'll tell you about turbulence, icing, cloud tops, and visibility that the automated stations might not capture. Number 5. Forecast conditions. Here's where the TAFs come in, along with any area forecasts. The briefer will tell you what conditions are expected at your departure time and along your route during your flight. This is where you really need to listen carefully. If the current conditions are beautiful but the forecast shows ceilings dropping to 1,500 feet by the time you'd be arriving at your destination, that's a problem. Always think about what the weather will be doing, not just what it's doing right now. And number 6. Winds aloft. The briefer will give you the forecast winds at various altitudes along your route. This is critical for flight planning because it directly affects your ground speed, your fuel burn, and your estimated time en route. If you plan for 4,500 feet, but the winds at that altitude are 35 knots on the nose, maybe you want to look at 6,500 or 3,500 to find something more favorable. This is where a lot of students miss an opportunity. The winds aloft aren't just something to copy down. They're a planning tool. Now let's walk through this together with a real scenario. Say you're planning a training cross-country from Lakeland to Daytona Beach. You call flight service and the briefer tells you this. Adverse conditions, Airmet Sierra for IFR conditions and mountain obscuration. Well, you're in Florida, so the mountain obscuration doesn't apply to you, but the IFR conditions part does. It's valid for Central Florida from 1800 Zulu through midnight Zulu. Your planned departure is 1600 Zulu, so you've got about 2 hours before IFR conditions are expected in the area. VFR flight not recommended. The briefer does not say this, so conditions right now are above VFR minimums. Good, but keep that airmet in mind. Synopsis. A warm, moist air mass is moving in from the Gulf, scattered to broken clouds developing through the afternoon with isolated thunderstorms possible after 2000 Zulu. Current conditions at Lakeland, sky clear, visibility 10 miles, wind 180 at 8 knots, temperature 30, dew point 25. At Daytona Beach, few clouds at 3,500, visibility 10, wind 170 at 12. Along the route, Orlando is reporting scattered clouds at 4,000. Forecast. Lakeland TAF shows broken clouds at 3,000 by 1900 Zulu. Daytona Beach TAF shows broken at 2,500 by 2000 Zulu with a chance of thunderstorms. Winds aloft at 3,170 at 15, at 6,200 at 22. Okay, so what do you do with all of this? Let's break it down the way a good pilot thinks through it. Right now the weather is fine, beautiful even. Clear skies at Lakeland, good visibility at Daytona, nothing scary on the METARs. But look at what's coming. The forecast says things deteriorate through the afternoon. Ceilings are going to drop. Thunderstorms are possible at your destination after 2000 Zulu. Your departure time is 1600 Zulu. Your estimated time en route is 1 hour 30 minutes. That puts you arriving at Daytona Beach around 1730 Zulu. The bad weather isn't forecast until 1900 to 2000 Zulu. So, on paper, you've got a window. But here's where critical thinking comes in. How reliable is that forecast? Weather moves faster than forecast all the time. That airmet for IFR conditions starts at 1800 Zulu, which is only 30 minutes after your planned arrival. That's a thin margin, and those scattered to broken clouds at 4000 along the route. With a dew point spread of only 5 degrees at Lakeland, clouds could build faster than expected. The examiner is looking for this kind of reasoning on your check ride. They don't want you to just recite the weather. They want you to show that you can evaluate it, identify the trends, and make a sound decision. In this case, maybe the right answer is yes, go, but get an early start. Depart at 1530 Zulu instead of 1600 to give yourself more margin, or maybe you call back for an updated briefing 30 minutes before departure to see if the timeline has shifted. The wrong answer is to look at the current conditions only, see clear skies, and go without considering what's coming. Now let me give you a few practical tips for making these calls more productive. First, always write down the briefer's name and the time of your call. If anything ever comes into question later, you'll want that record. Plus, it goes in your flight planning notes for the examiner. Second, don't be afraid to ask questions. If the briefer says something you don't understand, stop them and ask. That's what they're there for. Can you repeat the airmet details? Or is that ceiling expected at my departure airport or along the route? These are good questions. Nobody is judging you. Third, ask about NOTAM specifically if the briefer seems to gloss over them. Sometimes the NOTAM section gets bundled quickly, and you might miss that your destination airport has a runway closed or an evade out of service or a temporary flight restriction nearby. especially temporary flight restrictions. Always ask if there are any TFRs along your route. The consequences of busting a TFR are severe, and I didn't know about it is not a defense the Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, accepts. Fourth, if you're using 1-800-WXBrief.com, the Leidos online portal, in addition to or instead of the phone call, that's perfectly fine. Many examiners actually like to see that you used multiple sources. The website lets you enter your route and pulls up all the same information, but here's the advantage of the phone call. The briefer can add interpretation. They can say, yeah, the TAF looks okay, but I've been watching the radar and those cells are moving faster than forecast. You don't get that from a website. And fifth, tie your weather briefing back to your personal minimums. This is something every student should establish early in their training. What's the lowest ceiling you're comfortable flying under? What's the minimum visibility you'll accept? How much crosswind is too much for your skill level right now? These numbers should be honest and probably more conservative than the legal VFR minimums. If your personal minimum ceiling is 3,000 feet and the forecast shows 2,500 at your destination around your arrival time, that's a no-go by your own standards, even though it's technically VFR legal. This is decision-making, and it's what separates good pilots from lucky ones. One more thing. On your check ride, the designated pilot examiner will almost certainly ask you to show how you got your weather briefing and walk them through your analysis. They're not looking for you to memorize every number. They're looking for evidence that you got a complete briefing, that you understand what the information means, and that you applied it to your specific flight. If you can walk them through those six sections in order and explain how each one influenced your go or no-go decision, you're going to do great. This material comes from the FAA's Advisory Circular on Pre-Flight Planning and the Pilot's Handbook of Aeronautical Knowledge, Chapters on Weather Services and Decision-Making. You can find more at radiohangar.com. All right, that's the weather briefing from start to finish. No more staring at the phone, wondering what to say. You've got the format, you've got the order, now go use it. Fly safe out there, I'm Pattern, and I'll see you next time on Traffic Pattern.